welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor, and that is your hour. When I say that, I mean that it's your opportunity to set the agenda with your question about your computer. It might be a cell phone, might be your printer at home, it might be a modem, whatever it is that's keeping you off the Internet or giving you fits when you get on. We'll do our best to answer your questions. Here's the number to call, 800-859-0957. Welcome, welcome, welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor, where the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. That's right. We love to hear questions, just any kind of question. Pose it any way you want. We'd love to be able to sort things out with you here on the air.
You know, it is April 15th, and April 11th was supposed to be the big reveal for the Microsoft Windows Creators Update.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So it didn't come to my home computer, and I'm like, if I was Microsoft, they had the press releases, people have been talking about it. Basically, it's just a security update, but they're enhancing a number of things. Hmm. Remember, Microsoft's treating its license a little different. So anytime you buy a new Microsoft computer, it's going to come with this Creators Update. So you're going to have 3D Paint, Cortana's going to be integrated more with the operating system. Mm-hmm. Even during the setup process, you'll be able to talk to Cortana. But after the update, the only really thing Microsoft did, because I had to force the Creators Update onto my home computer, was basically tell me how wonderful Microsoft Edge was. and all the enhancements that are now available in Microsoft Edge. Yeah. Of course, Microsoft would like people to use the Edge browser.
Yeah.
And one thing I did notice, though, is in Internet Explorer 11 that I have, it for some reason, it reverted back to my original homepage, which was Lenovo. Hmm. And I'm like, well, I don't want that. But the cool thing is, though, is it has an Edge little icon on the top right-hand corner. So I have a, you know, when you click in because I use Internet Explorer as my mm-hmm. default browser. Mm-hmm. You know how you click and you can open up a new tab?
Yeah.
That shows the blank tab?
Right
next to that, there is a Edge little emoji that you can click on that's always floating there. So you click on that, it'll open up a tab in Edge for you.
Oh,
and I'm like, well, that's kind of cool because sometimes certain things don't work in Internet Explorer, and I could quickly see if they work
and
on Edge.
And vice versa, by the way.
And vice versa. Yeah. So I thought that was pretty cool.
And that's why you do need to have more than one browser, right?
Yep.
Because they don't...
That was our rule of thumb forever here on the show.
Hey, has anybody ever... have you looked at LinkedIn lately?
Yeah.
Have you been watching some of the social media outside of LinkedIn talking about the new interface?
No.
Boy, people are not happy. I said I'm starting to see some of this, and I thought, all right, I'm just going to go see if it's as bad as everybody says. And you know, it looks okay until you try to find something.
Oh dear.
And I couldn't find my groups. You know, and then you'd have to search around, but because we all have gotten used to it a different way, right? This might be better.
Yeah,
but
changes.
I'll tell you what,
changes.
It was hard, right? I had to go figure it out again, right?
So, well, you know, you talk about Microsoft Edge and that sort of thing. If they really want more people to use it, why are they continuing with Internet Explorer? Why don't they just stop that? Then you'd have no choice.
Well, because Edge doesn't support Java, I don't believe, and nor does it support
certain extensions.
A lot of extensions. Yeah. That Edge only now with this recent Creators Update will start supporting certain add-ins.
Yeah, certain add-ins.
So nothing better than pushing a limping browser.
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't know why they do that.
Yeah,
I don't either.
That's strange. Well, if it's not ready for prime time, you know, we should just move on.
Yeah, exactly. 800-859-0957 is the telephone number, and shame on you if you wait around to the end of the show and don't get your question in. So start right now, like Kevin from Toledo. Welcome to the Internet Advisor, Kevin. How can we help you?
Guys, I'm not the greatest on a computer, but I'm pretty fair. Okay. I'm looking for your suggestion on a program where we're trying to do a nice thing for a guy that we played hockey with 40 years ago. He wasn't in our team picture, but we have like his individual picture, and we're going to try and cut it out before we have our reunion and put it in the team picture.
Oh.
how or who they got these things where you can take your picture out and put yourself on Mars, but I don't know how to do that.
Do you have a community? Well, you're in Toledo, right? So you've got like the University of Toledo, you in your area, right?
Yeah.
What I would do if I were you is I'd cruise by there with that pitcher, with both pitchers, and I'd go by the University of Toledo and ask them where their creative studies type department is, where the folks who do things like photo manipulation, that sort of thing. Because using Photoshop, you can do that.
Yes.
But, you know, if you don't have the actual software or you don't have the skill for that software, finding someone who does, and I'm sure if you go by one of the dorms and say, look, you know, I got this little small job I'd like you guys to do for me, you know, can you handle this for me? You know, hey, I'll buy
or
you guys
a 12-pack.
I'll buy you guys pizza or a 12-pack or something like that. And they'd probably just jump at the chance to do something like that.
So there's no program out there that's, let's say $50 or less, where I'm going to be as a fairly novice person, be able to do that on my own.
That's a good question. Photoshop is pretty heavy.
In my opinion, I'd say no. But they do have Photoshop Lite, which you can get for, like, I think it used to be Photoshop LE, and I believe it was for $99.
Now, isn't there Elements? What's Elements?
Oh, Photoshop Elements. That's what it is. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Photoshop Elements you can get for $99. And that might be able to give you the ability to do that.
Isn't GIMP another one too? GIMP, G-I-M-P?
GIMP is open source.
Yeah.
And that might work for them, but I'm not familiar with GIMP at all.
Yeah, neither am I.
Yeah, and I haven't done photo manipulation in a long time. But maybe one of our listeners can, because so many applications on the phones allow you to do this. So maybe someone out there knows of a simple program or a website that provides the tools that will allow you to then upload two photos and be able to manipulate them in the manner that you're speaking.
Kevin, you hang on then, because we're going to see, or you can drop the phone call if you want right now, but we're going to see if we can get some listeners to help us with this as well. Thanks so much for calling. I'd like to thank Mike Stetz, who's our engineer here today, and also doubling up as our producer, since my granddaughter Logan Ashley is under the weather and couldn't be here. Thanks, Mike, so much for what you're doing there. And by the way, give him some work to do. Here's a number, 800-859-0957. Another way to do that is 800-859-0WJR. And I realize that this hour is actually after when we usually have been on the air, because we were normally on from 4 to 6. We're now from 5 to 7 as our new stretch on the air. So this is the hour that is going to be open for you throughout the spring and the summer months and probably into the fall as well for your questions. And we've got lots of lines open right now. And I know it's a holiday weekend and people are enjoying time with family. But if you've had a question that's been nagging and you want to get some help, it could be a printer, it could be a modem, it could be getting on the internet, or looking for some basic advice, like our friend Kevin from Toledo. The number to call is 800-859-0957. Kevin, you called from Cleveland with a question about how to take a friend of yours who was a part of your hockey team 40 years ago. He missed the team picture, and now you want to take a photo of him from, I'm going to presume, that time, and drop it into the team photo so he can, you know, literally be part of that history. And we were talking about the fact that the software, generally speaking, you know, like Photoshop Elements.
And regular Photoshop can be kind of expensive. And I know that there used to be a lot of free stuff. And in Windows 10, they actually have some photo editors. But I'm really not sure how powerful they are. But I remember when my son, who was interested in Photoshop, basically, I found a website called Pixlr, Pixlr.com. And basically, it is the most, it has the Adobe Photoshop interface, same drop-down menus and everything, but it's web-based. And there's also plenty of YouTube videos out there that show you how to perform the editing.
That is the trick.
So, now, after you do this manipulation, how do you print it?
Well, you know, you have the ability of, you're using basically Java tools to manipulate photos on your computer. So basically the software is the website, and you're loading the photos from your computer, and then when you're done with the manipulation, you save the photos to your computer, and then you could print them afterwards.
Okay. So you could like email that JPEG or whatever out to Costco and make a nice big glossy print out of it.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah. Yeah.
Good point. Yep.
You know, and, I saw.
Let me repeat that again, Kevin, for you and for anybody else who'd be interested in this. And by the way, if somebody else has another suggestion, one of the nice things about what's happened over the years is that people will call in and say, hey, I tried this and it worked. Give us a call with your suggestions as well at 800-859-0957. Pixlr is P-I-X-L, as in Larry, R as in Ralph, .com, Pixlr.com.
And the important part is that you can search YouTube for that and do how-tos.
Yeah, that's really helpful.
That, you know, you could read a manual and you could try struggling with the interface, but if you can watch a YouTube video and the person just clicks and drops and... Yeah. A picture's worth 1,000 words and a video's even more.
It's interesting you mention that because I have found photo editing software in particular to be really hairy to try to sort that out. Right. Eddie, are you going to say something
here? I was just going to ask you about the Spectrum sale that happened. I know that you and Ed went back and forth over this last week about some of that and the significance of that might be important.
Yes. As a matter of fact, it's going to affect all of us, I think, as users in particular. Thursday marked the end of the FCC's incentive auction. And Ed, you've talked about different auctions over the years. This one will shift valuable spectrum away from TV broadcasters to companies that want to offer wireless service. And industry insiders call it beachfront property. In other words, it's really valuable property that has been offered.
This frequency range, which is 600 megahertz, which was ideal for television, you know, for the audio and the video of the television. And the reason why is because it penetrates concrete. You know, I mean, that's why that frequency range was used. And to have cell phones, how many times have you walked into a building and your signal drops? So carriers are just salivating over this frequency range of 600 megahertz so that they can offer their cellular coverage and data services using this because they won't have to put up as many antennas.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it'll go further. And what we're talking about, for those users don't know, this is the old UHF radio frequency ranges, ultra high frequency. Remember, we had VHF. You have to be a pre-millennial to know what this is. So you had VHF, which was channel 2 through 13.
I remember the rabbit ears.
Right, 2 through 13. And that uses 54 megahertz to 216. And UHF was channel 14 through 83. Remember how when we were all kids, we used to try to get the Canada pictures on 62? And so, and that those use the frequency ranges of 470 through 890 megahertz. What the FCC offered was the 600 megahertz channel range. They're not doing the whole spectrum. For the TV.
Right.
Just the 600 megahertz.
They've sold off other portions beforehand. I think it was the 700 went. That was the last one to go. And Verizon and Comcast and AT&T got big pieces of that.
It's going to take the TV broadcasters a few years to actually give this thing up and turn it over.
I think they had 39 months, I think, they had total.
But you know what? We're going to watch TV on the internet anyway.
Yeah.
On our cell phone, right? And... that's where we're going to get
it. I hope not. I love the over-the-air experience. It's been fun.
This will be over-the-air, too. It's just going to be a different, more efficient protocol.
Yeah, well, as long as I can do it on a large screen, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you can.
You know, there's no reason why they couldn't put a TV reception in the cell phones.
Right.
Right? There's no reason why they couldn't do over-the-air. Matter of fact, every cell phone that's manufactured in the United States, the chipsets support FM signal reception. It's just that it's not enabled by the carriers because they'd rather have you stream it through their data channels.
Oh.
And you pay for that than you do receive free music through the FM channels.
Oh.
Which you could also stream.
Which you could also stream, yes.
That is very interesting. The auction, by the way, has represented one of the best chances for wireless companies to get more spectrum. It could also reshape the wireless industry. Now, this is interesting. Giving smaller carriers a chance to offer the same strong nationwide coverage as companies like Verizon Wireless and AT&T, which combine control more than 70% of the U.S. wireless market.
Well, Verizon and AT&T on the last sale did pretty good. Yep. This one was really snapped
Verizon
up by...
Verizon didn't even participate. I was seeing some of the information on
right,
that.
T-Mobile was the big winner on this one. They bid big. And a couple other small carriers. Dish Network.
Yes, Dish. That was it. Dish got... Now, that... I wonder why. Because it's a satellite.
Well, you think about it. Dish has satellite, but they don't have any internet. You want internet, you got to hook up to DSL. Wouldn't it be great if they could offer a wireless internet service?
At a high speed.
At a high speed.
Which is really cool, because now I'm really excited about this. They're getting this new frequency. Well, it's an old frequency, but a new frequency. And if it's going to go through a cell phone, wow, that's great. I wonder if they'd give me a different type of tumor.
No.
It'll be like an NBC tumor. It'd be like all in color, like the
peacock. Oh, dear, you know? Cal.
Oh, my God. Cauliflower ears, Cal, yeah. No, but, I mean, that would make sense for Dish to actually be able to distribute to homeowners and include in their cable, in their Dish network boxes, the ability to receive data through this cellular channel that they purchased.
And do that without wires.
Without any wires.
I will tell you, my Comcast works terrible on the boat.
That's because you're not using a long enough wire.
That's right. Well, I guess I better go get more wire. More coax.
But yeah, that would be great, because that would give them a leg up finally, because the drawback with getting any satellite television service, or especially satellite internet service, is that the download speed blazes because you can pull it off the dish, but the upload is absolutely abysmal.
You are chained to whatever the DSL is.
And those commercials, I find, are so ridiculous that the cable companies put out, because the cable companies actually receive all of their signals through satellite as well.
That's right.
Just not on everyone's house.
Have you gone to the local Comcast downlink? It's all dishes.
It's all dishes, and they're affected by weather too, let me tell you.
Oh, yes, absolutely. All right, folks, here's the number again, 800-859-0957. It's a holiday weekend, and this is not unusual that people will kind of take the time off from listening to the radio on the weekends, but that means that those of you who are out there who have a question and don't have to wait in line. We've got lots of space here, and we're looking forward to talking with you as well at 800-859-0957. The way of saying that is 800-859-0WJR. Give us a ring and we'll get to work fixing your problem as well. Welcome back to this Easter weekend show on the Internet Advisor. And true to form, people are taking the weekend off quite literally in terms of even and calling in and asking questions. So if you're out there driving around and you hear a program like this with all sorts of talent waiting to answer your questions about computers, maybe you look for some advice on your next computer. This is the time to call in, 800-859-0WJR or 800-859-0957, toll free. From wherever you hear my voice.
Yeah, perhaps. Maybe you might want to know that website where you can go to find out how to color Easter eggs with that particular shade of lavender. Which is something I looked up all night for.
You know, and
went off the rails. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we talked about YouTube being a great place for how-to videos and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a lot of really cool, interesting things. So I was watching just a little bit of it, the great 2017 drone Easter egg hunt.
Oh, I saw that. That's a cute one.
Yeah. That was cute, wasn't it? It was just funny. And then there's, you know, the hologram-like Easter bunny for your home. And, you know, there's all sorts of things you can find. It's hard to believe.
We have got to do a program on drones. We've got to do a program on drones. And we're going to do it. Mm-hmm. Because it has expanded so much.
Well, I'd like to find out what people do after the first week that they got it, because it's really a neat thing to have and play with. But what do people do with it after that first month or two, and they've crashed it, and did they upgrade? Did they put cameras on there? I mean, how are they using it in their daily lives and hobbies? I could see the personal ones, the selfie ones.
Yeah.
That would be cool. Or if you're a bike rider and do bike tricks or skateboards and they hover within 10 feet of you, that's understandable.
You know, depending on how much you want to pay, there's this boat broker that I'm working with, and he has a drone. Mm-hmm. And he pushes a button and it comes up to about 4 feet and hovers there. Mm-hmm. Right. But he paid a little less than $1,000 for it, but he'll send that out. It tracks the boat. So he does video from above of the different boats that he's trying to sell. And, and it'll track and it'll go to one side and the other. And it's amazing, the video that comes off of these drones.
Sounds like a tax write-off, too.
He just has fun, and it is a tax write-off for him, right?
So I don't think you find as much in terms of consumer, just regular consumer use, expanding that much. But what I have seen constantly are these different applications commercially.
Right. Yeah, and they're a little expensive if you want to spend that much just to have a play toy, right?
Exactly. You know, so when people upgrade to with cameras or the, what's it called, Parrot, I think, is one of them, isn't it?
Well, the one thing I've noticed is in the documentaries that are on TV and National Geographic have seamlessly incorporated them within the filming process of their shows. Like, I remember the kilters and stuff like that. They sometimes, when they bring helicopters to do those things, they have to do that off season. Now they can incorporate that filming technique in every episode. Yep. And you've got to wonder how many helicopter pilots they have actually put out of business.
Yeah. Let's put a pause on this conversation for just a minute. It's an interesting one, though. And say hello to Robert from Temperance. Robert, delighted to have you with us here on this Easter weekend. How can we help you?
Yes, good evening. I listen to your show every week.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
I have a Mac computer I've been using for probably 4 years now, 5 years. And I have a little external hard drive, a little Toshiba, where I back up my photos, my music, documents and stuff to the little hard drive.
Yep.
And what I wanted to know is I'm planning to buy a laptop computer, which is a PC.
Uh-huh.
And if I take that little hard drive, which is formatted for Mac, and I plug it into my new laptop, which is a PC, will my PC be able to read the data from that hard drive?
No, unless you buy a third-party software that will allow you to be able to read those. Well, let me rephrase that. No, it won't be able to do it because you'd have to have a third party to be able to mount the volume because it's formatted in HFSS. HFSS. Which Windows does not read.
Okay.
So is there a software that I can download from the internet, or do I have to buy a special software?
The smartest thing that you would be able to, that you should do, in my opinion, would be to do this. Either get another external hard drive, and on your and format it for FAT or extended FAT, either one of those two protocols, and then you can hook that hard drive up to your Mac, and your Mac will recognize it. Copy the stuff from the first hard drive to that hard drive, and then you can plug it into your Windows machine and be able to read it.
Oh, really?
Oh, so it's like doing a backup from one hard drive to another, only I'm formatting it from Mac to a PC format.
Correct. Now, here's your caveat. Your data files, pictures, Word documents, Excel, those sort of things will be read on the Windows machine. The programs you have on the Mac, they're not going to run.
Oh, no. I'm not interested in a program transfer. All I'm interested in my photos, documents, music, that type of stuff.
Now, you can go one step further. You can, at your house, if you have a router, you can have the Mac plugged into the router, and in that same router, you can plug the Windows machine. And then what you can do is share out the a folder on the Windows machine, get the IP address of the Windows machine, and then from the Mac, map over to the Windows machine, and you could drag and drop those files across and run them across the network.
So if both units are attached to the same home wireless, all he has to do is share out a folder on the PC, and then you have a magical command or something that you can actually map directly from the Mac to the PC once it's all set
up. What do you mean by mapping?
He would do is he'd go into the Finder, and up at the top there's a selection along the menu bar that says Go. Go down to the bottom, and it says Connect to Server. When he clicks that, it'll say, what is the server address? And he would type in SMB, that's Sam Mary Bravo, colon, and then 2 slashes, and then put in the IP address of the computer he's trying to connect to.
Okay.
And where would you find that IP address?
On the other computer, you would type in the run line, put in CMD, and then you would type in the black on the command screen, you would put in ipconfig/ALL, and then just go down the list until he finds the IP address
right
on that list.
Or the network properties of that unit would show it as well. And SMB stands for simple message block, right?
I think so, but I'm not sure. I've never even asked.
You know, and I've talked to other people that use the cloud to do this, where they'll upload their data files to the cloud and then download them back to the same hard drive, sometimes reformatted,
which
they want. And then they've got a backup in the cloud as well.
That's true. That's true. It's going to take more time, though.
It'll take more time, but now they've got two backups.
Robert, did you catch these pieces of advice?
Yes. That's okay. Very, very interesting. Yes. I'm going to try all of that when I get my computer next week. So, yeah, that's a lot of valuable information.
Just out of curiosity, what manufacturer were you looking at?
Right now, I have a 27-inch iMac, and I'm planning to buy a 15-inch touchscreen HP.
Okay.
I'm curious why you're switching over to Windows.
Oh, I'm not switching. I'm keeping both. I want the best of both worlds.
Oh, well, good for you.
He wants a touchscreen, yeah.
The guy has a 27-inch iMac. You really think he's going to leave that to go to a Windows machine?
That's why I was curious about that.
Yeah, he probably wants better software.
Oh, that's awful.
It was completely dead in the room after he said that.
Crickets.
I was waiting for the gloves to come off.
So it's more software for sure.
Yeah.
And more opportunities that sometimes you just can't get certain software on a Mac.
When you go home tonight, look at your wife and say, I'm looking for more opportunities, dear, and see how much longer you'll stay home.
Or how long
you'll
survive.
She'll say to you, quote, you have the best. Stick with it.
Robert, on that note, happy Easter to you.
Oh, yes.
Take care.
That was an excellent question. And,
it really was.
Cal gave him three different answers, and Gary gave him a fourth.
Yeah.
I like that.
That was interesting. And the notion of having the best of both worlds is kind of an interesting one, too.
I will admit, I do both. I do both Windows and Mac.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and because my wife is on a Windows machine, I do both as well and try to keep up with both worlds. Brian up there in Eagle Harbor, hey, hang on a second. We'll be with you shortly as well to help you with your question. And we do have room for a few more questions at 800-859-0957. Back here with the Internet Advisor in just a moment and your questions. Thank you so much for having joined us here on the Internet Advisor, joining our program today. And Gary and Cal, thank you so much for joining us. And Mike Stats, thank you for your work behind the scenes here, helping us to line folks up. We got a couple calls online now. We want to make sure we take them. As a matter of fact, an old friend of ours from Las Vegas is calling, Gary, on one of our lines. We'll get to him in just a moment.
Our signal must be really strong these days.
It must be sailing, because we've got Brian with us from Eagle Harbor. Hey, Brian, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Good afternoon. It's Kego Harbor, not Eagle Harbor.
Oh, so not quite that far away.
I was going to say, I saw Las Vegas at Eagle Harbor, by the way, folks, is up on the Keweenaw Peninsula.
12-hour drive away. Yes.
Yeah, it's a long way from
there. We're only about 30 minutes.
Yeah. But we'll still help you. What can we do for
you? What can we do for you?
Well, the Michigan Lottery decided to give some of my money back, so I needed to go shopping for a new laptop.
Ooh, cool.
Ooh, yeah.
I went to Micro Center and seemed to have found a pretty awesome deal.
Yep, you can do that thing.
An i5 processor, 12 gig of RAM, 1 terabyte, touchscreen, HP, under $400.
Whoa!
That is a good deal.
That's what I thought.
Nice.
So it's refurbished, so yeah. I thought, you know, with a 2-year warranty that only costs another $130 under $550, I've got a pretty good machine.
Yeah, I was going to say, you might want to, with that warranty was important, because my son purchased a refurbished, not from Micro Center, but from Amazon. And when something went wrong, of course, we couldn't get anything covered because it was refurbished, even though it was refurbished by the manufacturer at the time. So
well,
I'm glad
the
you got that extended.
The warranty that comes is 90 days. 90 days is what comes with it.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So 2 years bumper to bumper, spill your coffee, your beer in it, doesn't matter.
Okay.
Now we're good to go.
Okay.
So for 2 years I got a good machine.
Yep.
So my question is, what is the protocol for going through and taking a new Windows 10 machine, and I'm obviously green with Windows 10 because I've never had one, but go through and, you know, what do we put on it? What do we want to load it with? What, you know, first of all, antivirus, and what's the cocktail for antivirus? Do we, it's got essentials on it, I'm assuming. Do we add something on with that, like good, malware bites? Yeah, or, no, you that, know, I what think, would be the...
Good, that's a good question you've asked.
Great question.
Yeah, the basics. What do you want? What are the basics, Ed, that you would load them on a machine?
Well, I still use just the Microsoft integrated Defender. Yep.
Yeah, which is no longer Microsoft Security Essentials, but what it is
Defender.
Defender now. It's yep. called, correct. And it's integrated.
Yep. And then what? If you want to make the if you want to make the additional thing, you can purchase Malwarebytes. I think it's $25 a year for another subscription, and they work just fine together with yep. both Defender and Malwarebytes protecting you. I don't even do that with my computer. I just have Malwarebytes loaded,
version, right?
The free version, and yeah. then I launch it maybe once every other week and do a scan. It usually doesn't find anything.
Yeah.
But if I do run across like a something that hijacks my browser accidentally, mm-hmm. which is usually what it is, or maybe I get mm-hmm. a pop-up that says, warning, this is Microsoft. Your PC has yeah. been compromised, which is not Microsoft.
And it's not compromised.
I usually control alt delete, end the task, and then I run a Malwarebytes scan.
Yep.
You know, those two usually work good. Now, if you want to, you can, depending on who your internet service provider is, you can use the free antivirus they provide, either McAfee or Norton, but realize that'll disable the Microsoft Defender antivirus.
And that's why I was asking yeah. about the cocktail, and that was another part of the question.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
You should only use one antivirus at a time, right?
Right. Well, they all call themselves antivirus anti-malware now. There is really no distinction. According to the antivirus consortium, they're basically Norton and McAfee and Malwarebytes. They all provide computer protection, virus protection, Trojan protection, malware protection, adware protection. Yep. It just goes on and on and on. It just and even Microsoft claims they're defenders that way as well.
Yep. And Defender has performed very well.
It really depends on your internet surfing habits. You know, what sites you go to. If you're in the habit of receiving emails and clicking on links, well, that looks like an interesting link. I'll click on that. Bam.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So it's
I know better.
Yeah, exactly. So after that, it's wise surfing. But that's the basic armor that you need, if you realize your Under Armour for your computer.
Well, you know, because at the store, they're telling me, you know, you need to buy this for $99.
No.
And look at how it's rated. And but then I
that's
go and look
gravy.
At the magazine's rating, and it's completely different. And, you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
so what do you really believe?
Yeah.
That is their, as Ed said, that's their gravy.
Take their good deal and leave the rest.
Exactly.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go back and get the warranty after thinking about it, because that does cover me beyond the 90 days.
That's,
and then,
that might
like
be
I said,
a good
2 years,
idea.
I'm guaranteed a good machine.
Yeah.
So, but then beyond antivirus, what's the protocol for loading the machine up and getting rid of the bloatware, which I actually haven't seen anything in there. I mean,
no,
I know it's in there, but it's not bothering me.
Yeah. No, there's really not a lot of bloatware with Windows 10, especially if it came from Micro Center. They usually don't load the bloatware. That comes from the manufacturers.
Yeah.
And
that makes the computer cheaper, right? Because they can get their money from the advertisers as well.
Yes. Yeah.
But they don't put much of it on there. Brian, I got a couple more calls, so I'm going to jump quickly. Okay, was there anything in particular you needed beyond that?
No, I just the protocol, what we do to get up and running. That was basically it.
You got it. You got a great deal, and I think you have some good advice on security software as well. So take care and enjoy that this weekend. Rover, my goodness, from Las Vegas, welcome back, old friend. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Happy Easter.
Thank you,
Easter. For Brian, I've got a quick little tip to get a bunch of programs. Nynite.com. That's NINITE.com. You can get his browsers, his security.
I just downloaded a PDF creator from that site.
Open yep. Office, cute PDF printer.
It's called Nynite, N-I-N-I-T-E.
Right. Well, it's Nynite. I always pronounced it Nynite.
Nynite.
But N-I-N-I-T-E. And what's nice about it is that when you could select five or six different applications, like, oh, I remember that. Oh, I want that one too. Oh, they have Malwarebytes. I'll take that. You select them all, and then it downloads it as a single package, a single
right.
download.
And it as a computer tech, it saves me probably a half hour to an hour.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for bringing that up.
Great, yeah. great
suggestion.
Your previous caller, I think he had wanted to do something with file sharing.
Yes. Yes.
Well, okay. He was going from a Mac to a PC, and
okay, on the PC side, if he goes and Googles HFS, that's Henry Frank Sam .exe, he can set up folders as a file server, and then on the other machine, he can access it via the web and download files, you know, from that computer.
Okay, I missed the beginning part of that. So,
Henry Frank Sam .exe. It's called HFS HTTP or HTTP file server. It comes from Regetto Regetto.com.
Okay, is that something he loads up on the Mac or the PC?
On the PC side.
Okay.
And you know, if he has files that he wants to share to the Mac, all he has to do is go to the to the IP address of the computer, which it will tell you what it is, you know, so you don't have to go through the routine of running, you know, the command line,
you know,
IP config.
Great. Rover, how long have you been listening? It's been years now, hasn't it?
Oh, God. Well, let's put it this way. I've got a list of over 250 programs that I listen to during the week.
That's wonderful. And you're out in Las Vegas, huh?
Right. Well, I was, you know, I was in Iowa back in the 90s to 2006.
Yeah.
And I got tired of freezing my tail off.
So you move out to permanent sunshine. Well, my friend, thank you so much for calling. We've run out of time here, but it's always good to hear back from you out in Las Vegas. Take care of yourself. Have a wonderful Easter, Rover.
All right, you too. All right, bye, guys.
Thank you so much. And thank you to the rest out there. Mike, we'll be back with you off the air in just a few moments. For the rest of you folks out there, thank you so much for joining us, and have a great Easter weekend from the rest of us here at the Internet Advisor.